Hello, and welcome to episode 22 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor StephenDBC@gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to look at the third in a series of podcasts on the topic of heaven. If you would like to listen to any of the previous ones, you can find them on episode 20 and episode 21. And that would be for the Heaven Part 1 and Part 2. So in this episode, we're going to look at three more questions related to heaven. And so go ahead and grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now, for our first question for this episode, do we know what heaven will be like? Now, I ran across this statistic from a Newsweek article that said, asking Christians what they thought heaven might be like, 19% they thought that it would be something like a garden. Others, 12% thought it would be more of a city. And then 17% said they did not know. So, of course, the question that we're going to look at is, what does the Bible say, or does it give us any descriptions of what heaven will be like? Now, the Bible, with all of its 66 books, does have some descriptions of heaven, but they, of course, are limited. But we do have a pretty detailed description of what heaven, or sometimes it's referred to as the eternal state, what it will be like. And for that, you can find that in Revelation 21, verse 1, through Revelation 22, verse 9. So again, a good detailed description, if you would like to read through it, as far as what will heaven be like, you can find it in Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1, through chapter 22, verse 9. And there you can get a pretty good description from John's standpoint, the Apostle John, of what heaven, again, sometimes called the eternal state, what it will be like. I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of that. The one thing to remember is that when you look at that chapter, and it's essentially chapter 21 that goes into the early part of chapter 22, those first nine verses, but essentially the thing to remember is, this is describing the eternal state. In other words, the return of Jesus has occurred. The thousand-year millennial reign has occurred. But then if you notice at the end of chapter 20, God's final judgment has occurred as well. So Satan has been banished to the lake of fire, as well as all of those whose names are not written in the book of life and such. And so when you begin chapter 21, what you're looking at is the eternal state. This is the place where those in Christ will spend eternity. Now, a couple of things there that help us is that there will be no sea, there'll be no death, there'll be no mourning, there'll be no more crying or pain. And so we do see that. You see that beginning in verse 4, for example. And so the eternal state or heaven will not have anything regarding the sea. There will not be death, mourning, crying, pain. You'll also see as well that there will be no night, no sun, or no moon. So obviously much different than our present earth in that it will not have any of those. Now, one thing also to consider with that as well, and you'll find it in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, is that there'll be nothing satanic. In other words, there'll be no more satanic influence. There'll be no more of that in there. You see that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. So another way to look at it is that before John describes the eternal state, the new heaven, earth, the new Jerusalem, in Revelation 20, verse 10, he says that Satan is completely annihilated. He's cast into the lake of fire where he will be there forever and ever, so there's no satanic influence. So there's also that to consider there. So we see there's no satanic influence, which leads itself into some of the other descriptions. No sea, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, no night, no sun, no moon. Those are all descriptors of that new, if you will, heaven and earth. We also know that there's going to be a new city that is there, and you could read about that as well. You can read about that beginning in verse 9 of chapter 21. So the city there is going to be described. Now, one other thing to consider as well is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, something is completely removed. And let's just read it, Revelation 22 verse 3. So we've already seen where there's no satanic influence. We have the descriptions of the new heaven, earth, the new city, the eternal state. But you'll notice in verse 3 where John says there will no longer be any curse. And so what you see there is that the curse that has been around since the dawn of creation is finally removed. This is really important to grasp in terms of our understanding of heaven, and what it will be like is that the curse will be once and for all moved. And you might be asking yourself, well, what curse is that? Well, back in Eden, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, we see where the curse was given as part of judgment from God. And so if you were to turn to Genesis chapter 3, you have the fall of man described, and then beginning in verse 14, you have the curse that is put on what we know as Satan, the serpent. We also see in verse 15 that God would eventually, through the offspring of the woman, crush and destroy Satan and such. But you'll see some of the other aspects of the what we think of as curse. You see those in verse 16, verse 17, all the way through verse 19. But if you notice in particular verse 17, you'll see where, for instance, the phrase is used, "Cursed is the ground because of you." And we know in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, it tells us that creation groans in travail, waiting for the day of redemption. And so another way to say that, again, that's Romans 8, beginning in verse 20 through 22. The thing to remember there is, of course, when judgment came because of the fall, it was pointed towards Satan. It was also towards the woman, as we know Eve. We also know Adam. And then we also know that the earth itself was cursed. So, with all that said, we see where the curse is finally removed. I like to think what was lost in Eden is finally restored in the new heavens, the new earth, the new city, and such. So that eternal state, God removes and eradicates not just simply the sin nature, but all the effects of the fall. And so in many ways, the book of Revelation is the way in which God consummates and restores everything that was lost in Eden. Before we move on to our second question, you might find this helpful. It comes from the Ryrie Study Bible. Ryrie speaks of this saying, quote, "The curse and all darkness will be excluded, and service, communion, and reigning will be the believer's privileges." And that's a good way to consider that. So hopefully that gives you a starting point to see what is heaven going to be like. It at least gives us some descriptions that you'll find there in Revelation chapter 21 through the early part of 22. Now for our second question, will be a trivia question. Question is, As Abraham was about to slay Isaac, a voice from heaven stopped him. Whose voice was it? So again, the question is, the trivia question, as Abraham was about to slay his son Isaac, a voice from heaven cried out and called to him and told him to stop, in other words, not to kill his son Isaac. The question is, whose voice from heaven was it? In order to answer that question, we will need to turn to Genesis 22. So if you have your Bibles, turn there to Genesis chapter 22. This is a passage here that essentially deals with the offering of Isaac, or the potential offering of Isaac, you might say. The background on this, in short, is that Abraham was promised a son, and ultimately God fulfilled that by giving him his son Isaac. And Isaac is going to be, and we know this from the rest of the scriptures, in particular in Genesis, that through Isaac you would have the continuation of the promise of Abraham's descendants. It would be through him that, for instance, also the Abrahamic covenant would continue its fulfillment. And having said all that, the Lord is going to, if you will, test Abraham's faith. We see this alluded to in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. But the Lord wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Again, the promise of God was that through Isaac, of course, you would have the continuation of the promise of a great nation, a blessing to all of the earth, the promise of the Messiah. And so what he was asking him to do was to sacrifice Isaac. And just as he's about to do it, you'll see it in Genesis 22:10, he's stretching out his hand and he's getting ready to slay his son. It says in verse 11, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And Abraham said, 'Here I am.' And the angel of the Lord told him not to stretch out his hand." And we know the story ends with the ram being provided by the Lord. So the answer to our question is, as Abraham was about to slay Isaac, the voice from heaven was the angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh. Now for our third and final question for this episode, the question is there time in heaven? So again, the question we're going to look at is there time in heaven? Now, answer that question, I'm going to read a definition from Webster's. It says, regarding time, to define it, it says, "Time is the measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues." See also duration, meaning duration of time. So if you see there from Webster's, essentially what it is it's something that is measurable. It is active, it's a process, and it gives this idea of continuation. It refers also to a definition for duration. So you think of a succession of time in this case. Now, the answer to the question, I think, is curious because on the one hand, we know God is timeless. He's not time-bound like we are. He's eternal. For example, he sees and declares the end from the beginning. And for him, time is not obviously like what you and I think of. God is eternal. Before anything was, of course, as Jesus would say, "I am." So we know that time is, of course, completely different from our standpoint. But as we look at the scripture, we ask ourselves, so when we get to heaven and when we enter into that, if you will, eternal state, will there be time? Now, of course, in this case, there's two answers. Some will say no, some will say yes. For those who would say no, they would reference in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, in verse 23, for instance, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. So again, that's Revelation 21, verse 23. The answer for no would also be cross-referenced to Revelation 22, verse 5. For example, it says, "And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the lamp of nor the light of the sun, because the Lord will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever." So those two verses are the ones that would typically be that someone would say that the answer is there time in eternity, at least from our chronological type of time, our clocks, if you will, the answer would be given as no using those two verses. Now, of course, you could counter that by saying that, of course, that it is speaking here more of a light, something that expels the darkness, if you will, rather than something that is chronological. In other words, something that shows a continuation or succession of something. But on the other hand, you also have those who would say, well, yes, time is in heaven. You would see this, for example, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. If you were to look there, in terms of the timing in the Bible, we see that as being during the tribulation period. And in chapter 6, verse 10, it speaks of, and this is the fifth seal, and it's referring to martyrs, so those who have been slain and martyred for the testimony of God. They're being pictured there. John is describing them from heaven, and they cry out. Notice verse 10 of Revelation chapter 6, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" So the reference there, if you were to say yes with in heaven, you would see where, if you notice, how long. So that would be a measurable period or duration of time, the how long there. And of course, they are in heaven, those who are being referred to there as martyrs. I think one of the other ones that seems to suggest at least that perhaps there is some aspect of time in heaven, in fact, is in Revelation chapter 8 in verse 1. In the book of Revelation, one thing to remember is that the scenes go back and forth, earth to heaven, then back to earth, and then back to heaven. In this case, we see where in Revelation 8, verse 1, this is being described as something happening not on earth, but rather in heaven. Let me read it. Revelation 8, verse 1. "When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." So the question is here, of course, about half an hour, is this referring to the concept of time from John's standpoint on the island of Patmos receiving the vision, or is that a period of time, meaning 30 minutes, half an hour, there in heaven? So that would be two texts that someone uses there to suggest that perhaps there is time, at least some sort of aspect of time in eternity. When I say time, meaning something that is chronological, something that's measurable, as we saw, if you think of a clock type situation. One other one to consider there in terms of some sort of chronological or measurable period, in other words, to something you could calculate in heaven. You actually can see this perhaps in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, and I'm just going to read it. "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." I'll just stop there, but if you notice the description there, it says in verse 2, it gives the measurable period of time as every month. So if we go back to the question, is there time in heaven? Is there something measurable? Is there some sort of condition that exists or some sort of continuation or duration of things? Something, again, that is measurable. We know that God is outside of time, but the question is the eternal state when we are those who are in Christ or forevermore with the Lord. Will there be some sort of measurable period of time? There are some who say no. That would be because of Revelation 21, verse 23, Revelation 22, verse 5. But we also see that the answer for some is yes. We see that in the passages in Revelation 6:10, 8:1. But I think that here we see clearly that in Revelation 22, verse 2, that there is some measurable period of time that is used there, and you see the reference being every month. So how would we answer this question? I think for me, there seems to be some passages that indicate that there is some sort of measurable passage of time in heaven. I think perhaps maybe what is going on is the concept of time changes from our viewpoint as opposed to what it will be when we are in eternity. And so it appears to be that there's some measurable period of time, but again, perhaps that, if you will, viewpoint, our perspective on how time is calculated is slightly different or altered in eternity. But of course, one day we'll find out the answer to that question. And one day those who are in Christ, of course, when they are in that new heaven, new earth, new city, the eternal state, one day we'll have an idea, I think, a little more clearly on some of this, and we look forward to that day. Well, this concludes today's episode, episode 22, on the topic of heaven. I hope this has been helpful to you, and I look forward to our time again in the next episode. Until then, God bless.